as I look to the Lord regarding this time, I felt it may be of the Lord that we study together a little bit on the letter to the Galatians. I know that this letter to the Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul, and he wrote this letter to a particular people concerning particular problem at a particular time. But it is the Bible. Therefore we know it is for us. It is eternal. And it is applicable to us, to God's people, at any time. We want to love to This letter was written to These believers could be said as seem to
Christianity.
the sheep is
Of the people of Paul, 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 Paul,
He said, peace to Father, Father, Lord Christ. And Lords of the Lord, How great of great presents to us. We are his. We shall all let the hand progress to us. Faith great from the to in nature of the gospel of Christ. The breath is great.
All of these three of these. He said,
That is the you know of the script is a script.
And then
Right. It has to be by revelation. If it is not by revelation, you just don't know. So, the great Pharisee, he thought he knew. He thought that he knew that Jesus was an impostor of Judaism. And his followers should be persecuted to death. Should be annihilated. The whole sect should be annihilated. He thought he knew. He thought he was serving God in doing that. But he didn't know. So you remember he said, I did it in ignorance. God have mercy on me because I did it in ignorance. I didn't know. And do you really know him? It was when it pleased the Heavenly Father to reveal his Son. When Simon Peter acknowledged the Lord Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed. Because this is not something shown to you by flesh and blood. It is my Father who is in heaven who has revealed it to you. You are blessed. All flesh and blood could see of Jesus was. He was a great man. And from above, you can acknowledge him as the Christ, the anointed of God, the Son of the living God. But remember, it is more than just revealed to him. It is revealed in him. In other words, when God reveals his Son to you, it is more than an objective thing. It becomes a subjective experience. Yes, there is that objective fact that Jesus is the Son of the living God, the Christ. Now it is revealed to you. He opens your eyes to see it. But in seeing it, he comes within you to be your very life. Now that is grace. And I do believe that we have all known this grace of God. Thank God for that. The grace of God is that the Son is revealed not only to us but in us. He is in us. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. It's grace. Grace is not just eternal life. Grace is the Son, and with the Son, eternal life. With him, all things. That's how it first began. And I believe that we have all have our beginning in Christ Jesus. Thank God for that. But this is only the first stage of grace. Once God has shown grace to you, by revealing his Son in you, then you'll find something is going, it is bound to continue. In other words, that's not the end. That is just the beginning. You know, sometimes some people think that if only I have Christ, if only I'm saved, that's all I want. I'm satisfied. Now you are, but he is not. Because he has just begun with you in this way of grace. Now God has been gracious to you. God has shown grace to you. God has called you into his grace. God has put Christ in you, revealed him in you. You have him there. Now it doesn't mean that you have him here as a kind of passport to be used after you die on your way to heaven. Not so. Not so. So here you'll find Paul began to enlarge upon it. And the second stage of grace is found in 2nd chapter, verse 20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. No longer live I. It is Christ who lives in me. I now live in the flesh. But it is my faith, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, the first stage of God's grace in Christ Jesus is Christ revealed. The second stage is Christ lives in me. He not only is revealed in me, he is here. Revealed in me, but he also lives in me. Now that makes a great difference. To have Christ and to have Christ live are very, very different. Unfortunately, after we have grace shown to us, having Christ in us, we think that, my, that's tremendous. Our future is guaranteed. We can go to heaven now, because Christ is revealed in me. And we forget. The reason why Christ is revealed in you is that he may live in you and for you. When you believe in the Lord Jesus, when you begin to realize how sinful you were, and you were convicted, what did you do? You try to appease your conscience. You try to bribe God by doing some good works. Until finally you discover that all your righteousness is all as filthy rags. No use. So you cast yourself upon the grace of God. And thank God he showed mercy and gave grace to you. You're saved. But after you are saved, what do? Probably you think, now I am a saved person. I shouldn't live like what I lived before. You're right. Therefore, you set yourself up with a standard. You take Christ as your standard. And say you want to live like him. And sure enough, deep down within you, there is an amen. And say, that's what you should. If you do not live like Christ, something deep down there is not happy about it. But how? How are you going to live like Christ? It is a high standard. If you have never tried, you may think it can be done. If you have tried, you know it just cannot be done. The more you try, the more tired you are. So that's the reason why we find so many tired Christians. But however tired you are, you don't retire. No. When Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, no longer live I, it is Christ who lives in me." When did he make that discovery of grace? If you read Romans 7, you find it's a different story. In Romans 7, you'll find here was a man who has his mind renewed. According to his renewed mind, he knew what was the will of God. What did God want? He knew that. So he started out to do God's will. And that is the only life he knew he should live. What else could he live? But strange to say that of the Ten Commandments, Paul should use this commandment as illustration. Do not covet. Do not be greedy. Why? Because of the Ten Commandments, this was the only commandment that really touched upon the inside. It is not something that you can just keep outwardly. It has to be something that touches the inward. Do not be greedy. So Paul said, sure, I was not a greedy person, so I wouldn't be greedy. So he was determined not to be greedy, to keep the law of God, to live like Christ, if we may put it that way. Because Christ was never greedy. But strange to say, without determining not to be greedy, he wasn't very greedy. But once he determined not to be greedy, he became greedier and greedier. Well, that's always the case. I remember when, people first tried to ride a bicycle. That's what it happened. When you first got on a bicycle and tried to ride it, and you saw someone coming and you told yourself, "Now don't hit him." You know what happened. You hit him. That's what happened to Paul. He said, "I know what is right, but I can't do it. I know what is wrong, but I do it." Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? I'm miserable. There are many Christians who are miserable. If only you can be unchristianized, probably you will do that. But it's impossible. Miserable. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul, try hard. Paul, with an iron will. If there's anyone who has an iron will, that must be Paul. But even that iron will couldn't fight against the law of sin and of death. Finally, he gave up. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me? I cannot. I cannot deliver me from myself. From my good self.